We will call the meeting to order for planning and zoning, City of Green Coast Springs, July 28th at 5 p.m. And we would have roll call before the election.
Yeah, that's...
Okay. Roll call, please, Kimberly.
Board Member Francis.
Here.
Board Member Goff.
Here.
Vice Chair Haddock.
Yes.
Board Member Lewis is absent. Board Member Spurrier is absent. City Attorney Arnold.
Here.
Development Services Director Fleet.
Here.
Vice Chair Haddock, you have a quorum.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, Kimberly. The first thing on our agenda for July 28th is election of chair and vice chair. We had in our package, we have some explanation from staff, from Janice Lee, about the procedures for this. Would you like to address?
Yeah, and it's up, I know we've put this off the last couple of meetings. We're waiting for a full board. So, we first were waiting for our last two appointments, Mr. Gall and Ms. Francis. And then last meeting, we didn't have a full board. So, it's up to if this board would want to wait another meeting until we get to the full board, we could do that. That's really up to what the board would like to do. That's what they decided last meeting. So it's whatever the board would like to do.
Okay, do we have any comments on that? I'm sorry, I have not met the new member, Mr.
Gaw.
Yeah.
And Ellen Haddock.
Yes, ma'am.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Nope.
Okay, so we have any comments from Mr. Gaw or Ms. Francis?
I think that we should wait till we have a full board before election.
Okay.
I'd second that.
Okay. Roll call, please, Kimberly. We'll postpone this until August meeting when we hopefully have a full board.
Board Member Francis?
Yes.
Board Member Goff?
Yes.
Vice Chair Haddock?
Yes.
Motion passes 3-0.
Okay. And the next thing on our agenda would be the approval of minutes for January 23rd. And I just had one quick note where it says Vice Chairman Haddock called the meeting to order. I was absent, so I wasn't able to call the meeting to order, and I'm not sure who did that.
Mr. Lewis did, acting as vice chair.
Okay. And other than that, that's the only thing that I have. So if we have a motion to approve the minutes of June 23rd from either Ms. Francis or Mr. Goff.
I just have one question on the minutes. I mean, they seemed... There was quite a bit of discussion that went on during that meeting, and then the packet that we received seemed to boil it down to one or two sentences. Is that typical of...
Yes. I mean, if there's some specific thing you would like us to add to the minutes, is a point that you would like to have said that weren't in it, we can add that, and that's why we bring it back to you right now. If there's some specific things, am I correct, Mr. Arnold?
Yeah, the law says you're not required to have verbatim minutes, obviously, because that would be, God knows how many pages that would be. But we do have a tape, of course, of the meeting, mm-hmm. and that's where the minutes come from. And then the clerk or whoever does the minutes uses, obviously, some discretion based on their experience to do it. And obviously, major discussions, there should be some mention of that, I would think. And then all motions and all... approvals, votes, ordinances, things of that sort are going to usually be in the minutes or always be in the minutes. So.
Okay, so being new here, if there's some emphasis that a particular conversation warrants, can we...
Yes.
Danielle Jones, City Manager. What you can do, I can tell you when the clerk does the City Council minutes, if it's in a... we don't do a verbatim thing, but like sometimes there's things where there was a lot of debate, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. And you can, as a group, ask that, additional dialogue be included in your minutes with regards to that debate. So yes, you can do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's up to the board, but you can certainly do that. And if you don't feel comfortable with the minutes, if there was more debate on a topic, you can certainly ask that they be amended or be looked at or whatever the case may be.
If you would like to put this off and add more to the discussion, Ms. Farnsworth would go back and listen to the tape again, and she can add that. It's your minutes, so.
It really is. Minutes are really more historical, I suppose, in a way, if somebody wants to look back and see what happened, what the discussions were. I don't know whether we're taping the city council meeting, so minutes, you still have to do them, but, you know, and we have the recording. We're not taping these meetings yet, or are we? I don't even know.
The plan board meeting?
Oh, yeah, they're all, we have minutes for all these meetings.
Yes.
Well, they're not on.
I don't mean taping them there. I'm talking about video.
No, we don't.
The council is videoed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But probably at some point in our future, we'll be videoing these too. But
we do load, if I'm correct, the audio is uploaded to the website also, as well as it's available. But like I said, these are your minutes. If you would like us to expand the discussion, then we can go back, and then we'll bring it back to you at your next meeting.
It's really how much depth you want them to go in, and probably if you do that a few times, then Kimberly does the minutes, or whoever for this meeting, she'll get a little bit better taste of what maybe you'd like to see in the minutes, maybe a little bit more depth on this or that or whatever, and it's just your comfort level.
My only concern is that when there are members that are absent and there is a particular conversation that goes on, mm-hmm. that some part of that debate or discussion, you know, kind of be included in those minutes for the benefit of those that haven't been. I understand that this is circulated to pretty much a very narrow, us, but it may be helpful to get a little bit more detail in there somehow, but.
The vice chair, you can certainly do that because what happens is once these become archived, if there was a lot of debate on an issue, do you know what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
in the minutes, you know, we're looking like, I'll use this for an example, I don't know if there were debates, but it wouldn't necessarily lend a reader to go maybe listen to that particular tape. Does that make sense?
Right.
Which I think is in essence what your question
yes,
is,
ma'am.
If I'm understanding.
Yes.
The tapes are public records, and I know what Ed's getting to. He's getting the people aren't going to, they're not probably going to go behind the minutes very often to go
mm-hmm.
To go see the tapes if they missed a meeting or something, but you can,
mm-hmm.
if you wanted to. But it's really what y'all want to dictate as a board to, you know, to your clerk, basically,
mm-hmm.
you know, how in-depth you want them to be. And
so. Mr. Gall, would you like to approve these minutes with some adjustments? Or
would you
want to wait and go back to your notes and push them to next month? I mean, you can make a motion for either.
See, I apologize for being new, but then it begets,
okay.
the second question then begets, okay, we have this meeting on the zoning board, and not to use last week, or am I allowed to discuss last month?
Oh yes, it's public.
To use last month as an example, the vacating of a piece of property, and there was some pretty extensive discussion that went on between the petitioner and members of the board.
Would you like to add some of that discussion to the minutes before we approve them?
Well,
would you like to do that?
Not unless there's any utility to it, you know. If whoever wasn't here would get utility out of that, my answer would be yes. But even further than that, after we have one of these meetings, I mean, am I, as a citizen of Green Cove, allowed to come to the city council meeting and then get up
mm-hmm.
and say...
Absolutely.
Right.
But am I allowed to report what
yes.
happened here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To the extent you recall what happened and you want to say, you can't speak to them as the board,
right.
but you can speak to them as a member of the board, because that doesn't violate the Sunshine Law, and after the two of or more of y'all get together and start doing that,
right.
it does, but not with you, and of course you're at a public meeting
right.
when a city council is meeting anyway, and that's happened, I could say that's happened a lot through the years. You know?
Okay, because my concern was if the council or the city council gets this report,
mm-hmm.
The city council doesn't get this.
They don't get the minutes.
They don't get the minutes
okay.
because our staff report goes in ahead of time. We did, and I do kind of synopsize if there was some discussion when I submit my staff report to the council, and I tell the council in my presentation, which I did on this particular item.
I heard that. I listened to the entire audio.
Right.
My compliments to you for, you know, extending the spirit of the discussion.
There was good debate at the city council
yeah.
meeting, as I recall,
yes,
about this topic.
Well, I, if I may, let me give you an example, and it's your vice chair. When we had the issue of carports, had a different thoughts and things that wanted to make sure they were articulated. So as I recall, we entered photos and some other additional materials, and they became part of the minutes. So all I can share with you is if you, you know, if you believe that there need, then yes, then ask your peers to extend that same courtesy to you. And I would say it would not be unreasonable, and I think they would agree. Yeah. So if you want to do that, we can,
she can go
back with something else, and you can, everybody can withdraw their motions, and we'll go to the next co-round.
I'm sorry, we still have the backup of the verbal.
Right.
For anyone, you know, they look at it and go, oh gosh, I'd like to see the detailed conversation, they can go listen to that and have all the conversation that they want.
So my question is, the distribution of this, I mean, is it widely distributed? Is it?
It's public record.
It goes on our website. We upload them to the website.
Okay. Right.
So if you would like to have more, we can go back, but we don't, and we can, between now and next meeting, Ms. Kimberly will listen to the tape, and we can add to it.
Okay. You could actually, I mean, that we don't want to put work on you necessarily, but if you wanted to go back and extract part of it and say, here's the conversation from here to here on the tape or something like that, included in the minutes, nobody's going to give you an objection over that because it was done, or it wouldn't have been in the...
And not to cherry-pick that conversation, but to get the essence of it or something.
Then you just have to sell majority.
And I think those, you don't even have to come here because I think those, our audio is on our website, correct? Yeah, so you can listen to it, and after you listen to it, just give Ms. Kimberly a phone call and say, hey, this, I think we need to add these points, and she'll go back and listen to it and add them.
Would you like to do that? And then you make a motion to postpone them until next month for, until you have time to listen?
I would, at the risk of overcomplicating something, but
no.
Henrietta was
Ms.
here.
Ms. Kimberly, what would be the date that he would need to give you those additions for you to have the minutes ready to go into passage?
August.
Yeah, the 17th, the package, yeah.
So you'd have to have the additional comments to Kimberly, the August 17th, for them to be included next month.
Okay.
And then they would be put on the agenda as the proposed modification to the minutes as you've already received them. Yeah, and then you would vote on that to add them to the minutes.
Would you like to do that?
Yes, ma'am.
You would like to make a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to amend the minutes of our last meeting. Concern, I think it was the only point of business.
Yeah, that was. And mm-hmm. You really, if correct,
you don't need to do it today, even really. Yeah. I mean, really, you'd be doing that at the next meeting. You'd say, here's what I'd like to add. You could have already given it to her. She could type it up or whatever and then present it in their packet next time as an amendment. You really can't amend it because you hadn't approved it yet. So you're just adding it.
Okay.
You're expanding the minutes. If you
so are you really asking for not just to postpone the approval of these minutes to the next meeting?
Okay. That's all you need to do.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mr. Gall made a motion to postpone until next meeting for the approval of June 23rd minutes. Would we have a second on that?
I'll second that motion.
Okay, we have a first and a second. Kimberly, roll call.
Board Member Francis?
Yes.
Board Member Gall?
Yes.
Vice Chair Haddock?
Yes.
Motion passes 3-0.
Okay, our next item is public hearings, number one on our agenda. Janice, would you like to?
Yes, Madam Vice Chair. We, in discussion with some of the property owners of one particular Cove Plaza, we have currently in our code that if alcoholic beverage, places that sell alcoholic beverage must be 1,000 feet from a church or a school, except for in the Basic Gateway Court and Central Business District, which is basically 16 and 17 in Walnut Street is the best way of saying it. In discussions with one of the property owners of Cove Plaza, they felt that our 1,000 foot was kind of restrictive. So in talking with the city manager and city attorney, we conferred and we decided that a way to do that would be to add another exception to the 1,000 feet, not only for the Gateway Corridor and the Central Business District, but also to a shopping center under common ownership, because they have some control as a landlord into what uses go in their center if they meet our code. And our code is very specific as how that 200 foot is measured, and I have it in code, it's the shortest route of ordinary pedestrian travel from main entrance of the church the main entrance of the business, or the point of the school grounds of the main entrance of the business. So it's not like it's from the whole parcel to the whole parcel. So staff is recommending this code change to Section 102.418, which is where we address alcohol beverages, to give basically a shopping center the same ability as the businesses in the Central Business District and Gateway Corridor. It could happen if somebody comes in with a church. If there's an existing business that sells alcohol, the church coming in doesn't change anything. They could be right next door to each other. It has to do if you have a church and then the business wants to come in afterwards. So this is opening up the opportunity for a shopping center to have what we call storefront churches and then also have a restaurant that would sell alcohol. So, and you as, and since it's part of the land development regulations, this board has to make recommendations on any ordinance that would change the land development regulations, which is basically section 86 to 110. Whenever there's a change of those code, you as a board has to look at it and make a recommendation to council. So Ms. Hattig, you can open the public hearing.
Okay.
For our public.
Thank you, James. We'll go ahead and open up the public hearing. If there's anyone who would like to address the board, and seeing no one, I will go ahead and close the public hearing. And do we have any comments or questions from the board members?
Madam Vice Chair, I think I would just add a little bit of background. What we're talking about basically is the Cove Plaza area.
Yeah, that's what I said, yeah.
And so you have a property owner down there that has various units, do you know what I'm saying? And they would like not to have certain restrictions on the leasing. And so, you know, we advise them 1,000 feet. If you think of 1,000 feet, it's quite a distance, you know what I'm saying? So you've got, who have we got down there? You've got the sub shop, which is doing beer and wine now, correct?
Yes, they're beer and wine. You've got.
At one point, the owner, Mr. Pedre, had a prospective tenant who wanted a church, and so then there was concern whether or not the church could be there because of the proximity to serving alcoholic beverages. And of course that would have to be by a special exception.
Which she did come before this board, and the 1,000 feet would basically by allowing that church in that space would limit future use of a restaurant that sold alcohol anywhere in that plaza, because basically the way you do the distance line. So it really was open opportunity, and it would be limited to C2, so you have our C2 shopping center, is also Magnolia Lane Shopping Center. And then if there was if a new shopping center were to come in on 16 and 17 at the old All-Star property, that's a potential if they built a shopping center again. A lot of churches do go in, you know, into storefronts because they can't afford to build their own buildings. So especially when they're getting started. So this would not limit things. And we figure that it could be limited. They would still have to go through the special exception and process of the church, but then they would also have to go through the special exception to get the alcohol, but it wouldn't limit them not being able to be there at all in the alcohol if the church is there first.
What happened going way back, one of the first ordinances we ever had regulating alcohol, we used 1,000 feet from churches and schools just to keep them apart, and that, I know where the 1,000 feet came from because that's what the county had at the time, and then I guess as time went by we realized Green Cove was a little smaller than the county and we have a lot of churches in Green Cove, and it almost precluded, you know, having any establishments that served alcoholic beverages anywhere in the city limits except probably Cove Plaza itself. Just about everywhere we used to measure, it was hard to do it, and so the city councils through the years have relaxed that a little bit to allow things like Ronnie's and other places where you have the type license that allows you to have alcohol with your food sales and so forth. So that's what's happened through the years, and this is just a little more relaxation of that for shopping centers, which is, you know.
But as I recall, it's also under single ownership, right?
Yes, yeah, that's part of the ordinance itself. Yes, it says or within a shopping center under one common ownership in the C2 zoning district. If you look at the bottom of your ordinance that's behind the staff report, it's the bottom of the page. The underline is what we're proposing to add to the ordinance.
If you had out parcels down the road, it would be up to them to come back to us and ask for an amendment to the ordinance to say, well, wait a minute, I'm the out parcel in the Cove Shopping Center on the corner, and we want to put a nice restaurant down there and have alcoholic beverages with it. would you modify your ordinance now a little bit more? And that's how it should be, you know, to modify it a little as you go.
My only other question is, I'm not sure the first and second reading is right. We've got first reading on July 19th, so when is the first and second reading going to be?
Yes, it's going to be, the first is the 16th.
And then second reading would be 9-6, presumably?
Yes.
So if y'all pick up on the ordinance, it would be really interesting.
Do we have any comments or questions for the board members?
Is this specific to that one particular shopping center?
It's any shopping center in C2. Currently, the only shopping centers that are under common ownership are Cove Plaza and Magnolia Lane Shopping Center. So it's not specific to Cove Plaza, because when you write an ordinance, you rarely can do it just for one particular property owner. But like I said, it would allow both of those shopping centers, as well as if a shopping center was built on the corner across the street from Coast Plaza, the same, because that's currently C2, so if they did that, they would be available the same opportunities. And that's not to say this is going to happen, because, for instance, the church that you did approve has decided not to locate there. And if you remember, well, you weren't on the board, but I think Ms. Henrietta, that was your first meeting. It was limited to that church at that location, so because they're not there, they don't have that restriction right now. But if another church were to come in, now this would be in play. So,
Ms. Francis, you have any questions?
I don't have any questions. I just think that for that center, that 1,000 feet is asking a lot and is very restrictive and is a disadvantage for the owner. So I think 200 feet is good.
So this is best not dealt with on a singular exception basis where a restaurant applies to...
This is a change to our code. An individual business, just like Larry's had to come to this board, if, let's say, any business or a restaurant wanted to locate there, they will still have to come in through special exception. But without this change, they wouldn't even be allowed to ask for it by special exception. Mm-hmm. If they were less than 1,000 feet, and they would not even be allowed to come in for a special exception. They're still going to have to ask for the special exception specific for that restaurant and that space, but this will allow them to do it. If there's a church that locates somewhere in Cove Plaza, the restaurant can be 200 feet away, and they would have to, again, if they want to sell alcohol, they'd have to come in for a special exception at that time.
Because I noticed in Orange Park, 500 feet. Now, it's not only 500 feet from a church or a school, but it's other place of business selling alcoholic beverages.
What Orange Park did in zoning law, there's different ways of looking at things like alcohol sales, adult entertainment centers, is a nice way of saying it. You can crowd them together.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can have the dispersion, scatter them. And so Orange Park, when they wrote their code, they decided we want them at least 500 feet apart between them. We don't want a shopping center where you'd have three right in a row.
Right.
That's just their decision, you know.
And there's
different it's different philosophy.
Right.
We've used the 200, and actually, if you really read the code, you can even be across the street if there's a street in between, but...
Highway or a major road.
It really is up. It's up to... all of zoning is unique to individual communities, up to their jurisdictions. Some communities are more restrictive, and some communities are less restrictive. And we're probably, as we move forward with this and the way we change it with the Central Business District and Gateway, we're kind of saying this is where we want these type of uses, and we're going to be less restrictive. Out in the rest of the community, we want to be more restrictive. So we're kind of, I would say we're a good middle ground. I don't think I've seen more restrictive, and I've seen less. We're kind of in the middle, and we're responding to promote the type of businesses where we want them to be.
So the measurement of the 200 feet will again be use pedestrian travel, is that?
One is pedestrian door to front door to front door, and one is property line to property line. School is property line to property line.
So the pedestrian travel will only apply in the case of churches?
I believe that's right. I mean, don't quote me to that, but I'm not looking at the code. I believe that's right. That's the way that, there was some case law way back when that interpreted that.
It's actually, no, it's from, okay, the shortest issue, and this is right from the code, the shortest route of ordinary pedestrian travel from the main entrance of a church to the main entrance of the business and from the nearest point of a school grounds, that's why it's bigger, okay, to the entrance of the church. And I was involved in some of the...
I remembered it right anyway.
Right. I know I was involved in a case in Jacksonville where you had a church that owned like 50 acres, but they only were using like two. And the neighbor, I mean, the businesses complained because they said that's why they changed it. They went, bought it out where they did a front door. That it used to be any point in that church property, you would have the whatever that local government's restriction was, you had.
It's a balancing act between being business friendly, right, in a community and having restaurants. And, you know, some communities, as we all know, have got restaurant all up and down the streets.
On
that
corner.
Yeah,
right,
whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's just what your community wants.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's not within the purview of this particular action to go, well, maybe we need to include whatever the other cities have included, other places that serve alcohol. That's not within the...
It's not the proposal now.
Right.
But that's not to say that this board has the option to make recommendations to expand it. That's why it comes before you. I mean, if you see some concerns... or something that you need to add or you don't want. I mean, that's why you're here, because the whole idea that the city charter as well as state statute requires a planning board is to look at things in more detail, so the planning issues, because the council obviously has a whole realm of other issues that they have to look at.
So if that's the case, then why restrict it to shopping centers in C1? I mean, I'm just looking at not having to revisit this on a...
I think that if we take the shopping centers in C2, we take the CBD and Gateway Corridor, that pretty much takes care of anything. Now, if, for instance, a planned unit development comes in for Reynolds Park, that's a negotiated zoning, is the best way of saying it, where you kind of decide what you want. That, it's specific to a parcel of land. So they might be able to do some different things because of as part of the PUD, planning unit development zoning process. So right now I can't think of any other areas within the city that it would be a problem. But you know, I mean, we don't really have much commercial. Well, this would count. I'm just thinking other areas. There's some things down 16.
Sure, Madam Vice Chair, the other. Do you have the ability to pull up a zoning map,
yeah,
or do you have one,
yeah,
in the closet? I think that would get to your question. In other words, how far is C2 and what includes C2 and what other potential zoning districts are within that? That, I think, would probably answer the question, and geographically. Yeah.
The reason this is on here is obviously because it's that was what was under discussion.
Yeah.
And when you do an ordinance like this, you either deal with that issue by itself, which is more typical, or you could say, well, while we're doing this, why don't we look at the entire city and revisit the alcohol and so forth. But that's up to y'all.
Yeah.
It's really up to the city council, I suppose.
Or even more restrict. I mean, you could just say C1 plus C2, depending on what the C2...
Right. I guess.
Yeah, I have a whole thing since I'm understanding, right?
I mean, we'll take your word for it, or I will. Is
C2
worthy of inclusion?
C1 is our very low intensive, and I don't think it would be appropriate. I think, you know, that's just from my planning. It's up to you to decide where you go. But I'll go get my map, because my whole map file is missing. She got most of that maybe somewhere else. But these are all my GIS, so that's not bad.
It's still 1,000 feet now for a quote bar, okay? Still 1,000 feet for a bar, but a restaurant is different, and that's what we're dealing with right now. Mm-hmm. But we're not tonight. It's not under consideration whether you want to do anything with 1,000 feet throughout the entire city for a bar. I don't think we've had a bar come into Green Cove. I don't know.
looks like you got a new one coming on 17.
I don't know which one.
Highway 17.
North of Green Cove?
Is that north of Green Cove?
Well, I don't know where you're talking about. I mean,
right across from Winn-Dixon?
Oh, yeah, that's way north of
Green Cove. Yeah, that's outside. That's actually outside the city.
It is,
yeah.
Okay.
You've got the rehab saloon. You've got some other things up there.
It would appear, right.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Huh, okay.
Is there only two shopping centers? What we consider shopping centers is the one at Coke Plaza and then Magnolia Lane. Is that the only two shopping centers we're talking about with this?
Technically in the zoning district, yeah.
Okay. So, like, for instance, Zaxby's that might be going in there.
That's not a shopping center.
Okay, across from the Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. Is that still going to be required? Is that still 1,000 feet, or is that in the...
Well, that's in your...
Business district.
Just outside the business district, I think.
Is that still 1,000 feet?
Yeah.
Okay,
so the dark red is basically where we're talking about. So, as I said, that's Magnolia Lane, and you've got the Central Business District, CBD, and then you have the Coast Plaza, and that big parcel here. Those are the CQ parcels.
I think Marilyn's question was like Zaxby's.
That's the orange one, isn't it? Zaxby's.
Zaxby's up here. Zaxby's a PUB. Mm-hmm.
What's that down here between the green?
This is another CQ parcel that was developed. It could have potentially. Right now it's undeveloped. That would be another parcel.
And where is that at?
That's out basically to the old sheriff, Lancaster property.
Mm-hmm.
What's the cost?
Before the cemetery.
It's out to State Road 15. Toward the end of the city limit. Mm-hmm. There's a parcel out there.
Both houses, right? Both sides 16?
Yes.
Okay. James, do we only have two shopping centers classified as shopping centers, the Magnolia Lane and the Cove? Mm-hmm. Is that the only ones where shopping centers, according to this, is what we're talking about?
Well, I mean, currently, that's not, but you could count the shopping center down at out 16, the small center.
Well, they were talking about Winn-Dixie outside the corporate.
Yeah, that's outside the corporate. So that's outside the corporate limit. So we only have jurisdictional control within the active city limit. Like your property itself, you know, your Green Coast Springs, where your office is technically right now is not in the city limit.
Oh, potentially.
It's potentially.
Mm-hmm. What shopping centers? What do we consider shopping centers?
Magnolia Lane, that's pretty much it.
And
right now.
Is there a strip mall or something that would be considered?
The only other one that I can think of is the one out on the Hilltop, I think they call it.
There's a new storefront there. And you, the church was going to come in there, which is what kind of started all this, but now that church is not, so it's not a problem now.
Right, but...
But we're trying to be proactive.
Right, we're being proactive. Mm-hmm. Usually when you come up with an issue that you decide that could be a potential issue, that kind of brought up and say, hey, this is something we need to look at and change. I mean, mm-hmm. really, it's totally up to this board to make a recommendation. The church is gone, but they can come get another lead. Mm-hmm. They didn't have anybody looking to come in for alcohol either. We were just thinking, well, yeah, that made a good point. It's a way to switch it.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a way you can tweak ordinances, or you can totally start all over. Sometimes, which you're going to see, we're going to come back with our landscape ordinance a little bit the next month or two. But we felt alcohol sometimes is a touchy subject in community. So we kind of felt it was important just to limit it and just really respond to the request of a property owner. It made some sense. We discussed it back and felt that it made some sense. So we're recommending it move forward. That doesn't mean that this board or the council is going to agree with that.
Can we see your map again? This one question I have is where Zaxby's might be going in.
Zaxby's.
Okay, and then the church. Okay, so are they're in the...
they're in the gateway.
So that they have reduced 1,000 feet. They're at 200 already,
correct?
Right. And the commercial one, or commercial, is there a commercial three?
Yes, RC1, which is our low CMI, is that lighter pink color.
On Bay Street. And
but a lot of that backs up. We used to kind of, when you and Jenny, you do a step down. You try to go from your most intense, which is 16, or 17 especially, then you go to your Palmetto Pine Avenue, lower intensity. And the benefits is why we're doing it on the Unified Center is by doing that, there's some control, which then therefore you don't have to do kind of what Orange Park is doing, where they're saying this parcel you need to be 500 feet from the next parcel. We're really not saying that because we're kind of letting the shopping center itself kind of self police is the best way to say it. But we, but they're large. Most commercial shopping centers are 10 acres or more. That's what happens just generally in planning or usually center.
Now, Walnut Street should be...
That's TBD. It's its own category, but it's already exempted.
Yeah, I don't see any color on it.
Walnut Street is it's its own...
Oh, it's own, okay.
It's right in here.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay. Well, and the other thing to remember about Zaxby's is the zoning there is a planned unit development, which means only, you know, the items included in that planned unit development can occur there.
And they did not include
alcohol. Not likely they're going to come in for a rezoning. So,
no, and they did not include alcohol use when they originally did it.
Zaxby's doesn't have alcohol normally. I just what if, you know, going forward if they came
for. But what I just want to impart to the board is there can't be a what if. A PUD is its own zoning district, and whatever is allowed uses in the ordinance is what goes in there. You need to think of it as almost like an overlay district.
Yeah, it's a negotiated for a particular parcel of land. Like that parcel of land, there the zoning for that was a PUD, and it was determined, I think it was like 2004, 2000, and even though it never developed, those requirements, and for instance, there's a buffer between the neighbor, the residential property, and the site, the commercial site, and even though that what was approved back when originally adopted, it's still in force. So anyway.
They can apply for an amendment. Any PUD can ask for an amendment.
They could, but it would have to come through the whole review process.
It's a rezoning PUD to PUD.
Yeah. And that means adjacent property owners would have to be noticed. It would just be a board action and a council action.
And if still, even if we get a church and they want, and then an alcoholic beverage, a restaurant's alcohol comes in, would like to come into this center, they still would have to go through special exception process where they notified neighbors, public hearing, it comes before this board. It's not like any of those requirements are gone.
Okay, any further questions or comments?
Just a kind of a question, I guess, and being new to Green Cove, we are somewhat food challenged. So in the interest of making it somewhat easier to establish a restaurant, is this a first step?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Sure that's exactly what we're doing. We're trying to make it a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which we did before by allowing it in the downtown and the corridors and stuff. Because before that, like I said, you couldn't put a Ronnie's. You couldn't put anything.
Initially, it was just the Central Business District. Reduced it. Then we added the Gateway Corridor, and now we're adding shopping centers in C2. And that's how you're doing. You start looking at your community, and to promote businesses where you want it, we felt it makes some sense.
And the 200 feet came from
just negotiations through the years, and taking a look at things and seeing what they thought what the city councils at the time thought might be reasonable. Hmm. When we first looked at it, there were some very contentious meetings with preachers, a lot of preachers, which is very normal when you get into an alcohol issue. Not so much nowadays, but boy, back then, because I sat through them and I remember them, and they were ugly and it was not pretty. And
that's why we're trying to be consistent with the 200 that's already established.
I mean, I won't even go into all of it. You go back and look at the minutes, but it was pretty bad.
So that separation by a highway, or I forget what the wording was, a road of some kind?
It really wouldn't matter because we're using one shopping center where all the roads of the shopping center are owned by the shopping center. There's no public, okay. There's no roads,
but
per
it's
se.
It's not restricted to that particular shopping center in this action.
This is saying if you had a shopping center in that common ownership shopping center, which are 10 to 20 acres a shopping center can be, and they're usually one parcel owned by under common ownership, in that parcel you could have you could have more, depending how big it is.
Right.
You could have a church, and you could have a restaurant.
So we do have definition of a shopping center. It's anything better than 20 acres or 10 acres and less than 20?
Well, that's designated, actually, the property appraiser designated shopping. What's a shopping center?
Right, but in your land development code and your definitions, don't you have a definition?
I think we do, but I know that I've looked at this
parcel.
Right.
Ownership.
Yeah. But is, those are designated, the property appraiser designates them too, and that's, they're the, they would be the one we'd look for to show the common ownership, et cetera.
I've heard you say several times restaurants, but what about a bar? If a bar wanted to go into this code, is that also included, or is it strictly restaurants itself?
No, restaurants itself, 50% food and beverage. It's very restricted.
50-50, okay.
Yeah.
This ordinance has nothing to do with the 1,000 feet and bars. That stays the same. That hasn't changed.
This has a specific type of license the state gives. It's SRX, which is basically you have food sales and alcohol, 50-50.
Okay.
If someone came into Green Cove with a great bar, maybe one of the ale houses or something where they make the, and the community wasn't necessarily opposed to it, and it was at a location that was 900 feet from the closest school or church or something, and they came to the city council or you all and said, hey, would you relax it? My gosh, we'd like to put this in. It'd be great for the community, and there was not any big, move against it or something, then that can be done by an ordinance just like this is being done. And that's kind of how you do it with alcohol, because, you wouldn't want to just open up the city to have every bar, every restaurant, every parcel, so you, through the years, this is what's evolved. And like you said, it's a little different in every community. It's what your community sort of wants.
And one of the reasons we limited to the SRX license is because a lot of our businesses are so close to residents, and we didn't want it to be disruptive. And for instance, we did have and that license requires food to be sold all the time, and we did have a complaint on a restaurant, and we were able to say, hey, you can't do that. So because we are proximity of residential to commercial in this town.
Madam Vice Chair, in the land development code, so the definition of a shopping center, mall, or urban center means a group of retail stores or service establishments planned and developed as a unit by one operator, So, clearly that references back to your code. Owner, organization, or corporation for sale or for lease on the site upon which they are built.
So we do have a definition.
Okay, if we have no further questions or comments, we would like to possibly have a motion by Board Member R. Francis.
I'd like to make a motion to recommend to the City Council the ordinance that reduces the distance requirement between churches and schools and a commercial shopping center under common ownership in C2 to 200 feet.
Okay, thank you.
I'll second that motion.
Thank you. Roll call, please. Kimberly.
Board Member Francis?
Yes.
Board Member Gaul?
Yes.
Vice Chair Haddock?
Yes.
Motion passes 3-0.
Okay, thank you. The next thing on our agenda would be any board business, the board wanted to discuss or any comments. It could be anything other than that is not on the agenda or future agendas or what's on the mind.
I just have a question about, so we meet today and the three of us agree that this is a good thing to present before the City Council and with the recommendation. Is there ever any feedback? I mean, when we show up next month, will there be a report by Ms. Janice or somebody who says, okay, your recommendation that you passed 3-0, here's what happened.
And usually I do, when there's an issue before you, I usually...
The City Council.
Usually under my staff comments, I kind of update you what you passed them, what happened to things. Usually you guys know quicker than I tell you, but I will usually put it on the record what discussions happened. And as you saw with the one last meeting, your staff recommendation is included in the staff report that goes to council, and as well as in my discussion, when asked or if the council wants me, I go over it in a little more detail so they can understand it. But as Mr. Arnold said, you as private citizens living in the city of Green Cove Springs, you're always welcome to come to a council meeting to reiterate your points if you felt it was appropriate for something you liked or didn't like. We've had it both ways with the P&Z board has come to council. And they respect you because they appointed you, so they respect your opinions.
They don't always follow what you vote on, though, as you would well expect, because they're five different people, so they don't always. But they do give they give high marks to you in terms of what you do, and they certainly want your recommendations.
Absolutely.
So, for instance, on this will go to council for the first time on August 16th.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, is that typical? Things go to the council for two
yes.
readings?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. All ordinances need two readings. You are the final say unless there's a challenge, unless somebody challenges your decision for variances and special exceptions. People, if you gave a recommendation either positive or negative and somebody disagreed, they can appeal your decision to the city council.
So there is a path
yes.
around P&Z. Okay.
It's not around P&Z, it's for beyond P&Z.
Beyond P&Z. Okay.
Yeah.
I think the question is like if, you know, I asked for a rezoning and you guys denied it, for instance, and then it went to the city council and they accepted your recommendation, I could say I'm an aggrieved party and I want to appeal it. So there is the ability
to
appeal.
Yeah.
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 But yeah, all of, and we always, and I have a schedule I do every year where I figure out where all your meetings are and where council meetings are and where our cutoff dates for, because I, like for instance, today, or actually last Tuesday, council's next Tuesday night, our staff reports are due in by Tuesday. So like that's why this had to go to the 16th of August, because I can't get it on the next council meeting. Sometimes when there's a fifth week in the month, I can take your recommendation and go straight to council, but usually it takes a while, and we also have to have certain advertising and different requirements. So.
And what you wouldn't want is to have an ad appear in the newspaper before you all had made a recommendation.
Right.
And unfortunately, with all these ad requirements, you have to back everything up almost a week, so that's why it takes some,
yeah.
takes some time to
I mean, there's a lot more weight when there's only three.
Sure.
Right? I mean, you have to really consider, and mm-hmm. having been my first meeting, Ms. Henrietta, I apologize, but not understanding how the council's actually going to take your recommendation or, you know, the weight of the discussion that occurred, over time, I guess you develop an appreciation for that, but it was...
Well, and remember, you're in an advisory role, so the council will take everything in, and ultimately they'll make a decision. And you have five other members at that level, and they don't necessarily see an issue the exact same way either.
See, but you're in an advisory role until there's three of you, and then you look at it and go, well, is the weight of that conversation going to be appreciated at the next level, and do I vote
it
no?
It is. I'm sorry. I guess
no.
It is.
Absolutely.
And that's why
yeah.
when you indicated, you know, that you wanted a little more dialogue in the minutes, you know
right.
what I'm saying, that can get passed on. Like, we've had some very, I hate to use the negative word.
Contentious.
Well, yeah, I didn't want to
yeah, 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 I know.
And the plan board felt very strongly on an issue, and they made a recommendation, okay? And in some cases it was or was not unanimous. We had plan board members show up, right, the night that particular ordinance or that site plan or whatever was up before the council, and they came up to the dais and they said, this is why we feel, you know, our recommendation, and this is why we feel a certain way. So you as plan board members can certainly do that.
Yes. And I do not believe, as long as we have a quorum,
mm-hmm.
if we have three, four, or five, it carries the same amount of weight in your regards to what you were saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we have a quorum, and we voted on it in the past.
Maybe you feel like when there's only three, each vote matters.
No vote is a lot stronger with only three than it would be with...
Well, of course. But in this case, it passed, and if it was something that one of us felt strongly that we did not want to... It's still be what, 2-1? If it would be 2-1 to pass,
you have had meetings where you've had four members and you've had 2-2 votes.
Right.
So what happens when it goes to the council is, in essence,
no recommendation.
That is reported to the council because
mm-hmm.
they need to know there wasn't a clear form.
Yeah, we do recommend the vote.
That's reported to them and Janice.
That's rare.
Well,
we had it just
recently.
Yeah.
About
yeah.
2 months ago, you had a 2-2 vote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I was a fence sitter, right? So it wasn't like I felt strongly one way or the other, but
yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that
well,
message
was
yeah.
I was just saying that I'm just using your terminology.
Right.
As far as the council and this board's concerned, it doesn't carry if we have 4, 3, 4, 5, as long as we have a quorum.
Right.
It passes, and
I think sometimes when I've seen over the years, if they see something passed or failed, either way, 3-2, when you have a full board, when it goes to council, you'll see the council members looking at it differently because they're like, especially if they're questioning, they're like, well, this didn't get a high recommendation on the planning and zoning board. Maybe I need to think about it. They'll question. I've seen that. And yet when they see 5-0, they feel more comfortable moving forward. So they do respect this board's recommendation.
Janice, I know I do it in some of my items. If it was a unanimous vote, unanimous
yeah.
means all five are
right.
present, you can...
Yeah, well, I put the vote in always in my staff report, what your recommendation was. If there was, we've had times where we had a cell tower issue and a couple of board members wanted to express their concerns. In my recommendation, like on this one, it goes to council with whatever recommendation this board would like.
So there is a minority report then? If it's 3-2, you will include some of the
yes,
minority?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
I try
and
the best I can.
The council will look at it more closely
mm-hmm.
and go, well, why didn't they all agree what's going on here? And so they will look at it more closely and
yeah.
kind of take it apart and dissect it a little bit.
And I'm at the council meeting, so that's why I make those recommendations. So they'll ask me that, and they,
mm-hmm.
as Chairman Haddock knows, they'll ask me, and I have to say, well, this was. And I try not to identify you, if they ask me, obviously it's public record, but I will just say board member and try to be more generic. But if they ask me, I'll answer them. You know, as much as best I can. It's all public information
well,
and honesty.
There. I mean, the votes.
Right. The votes
you
there.
You put
yeah.
it in your report who voted which way. Is that what you're saying?
No, I do that. But when I'm talking in general, if they're asking discussion, I try to not say Mr. So-and-so, Ms. So-and-so
mm-hmm.
said this. I try to just generally say this was the discussion. But if they ask me, you know, I'm honest as they want to be.
Janice,
so.
Might we have a copy of the map that you were showing up?
Yeah, I think I've given to you.
As many of a copy as you can.
Okay, I'll print you.
It,
okay.
And then that way we can do some homework on these things.
Okay, I'll print you out one. I know you've all got, I think, 11 by 17.
And what the codes mean, you know, what the codes mean.
I'll print.
The red, the pink, and the green mean so that we know what we're looking at.
I'll print you up a big map for each of you.
I think they're on your site. They're on the Green Cove site
yeah.
also.
Yeah, they are.
And then you can print 8 by 10.
Yeah.
11 by 17.
I'll print you each one. That's fine. I've got a plotter to do that.
All right. Thank you. And let's see. Is there any more comments from the board? No? Okay. And then staff?
As updating, as Mr. Graw asked me and we talked about today, the Roslyn Court went, I did recommend, at the first reading, we went to council and I expressed some of your concerns. And there was some discussion, and then since that time, and I'll send an email around, that I received from Tracy Drake, who is the assistant property appraiser. There was a concern that the council asked, and we had to get back, which indirectly is what your concern, is the existing Roslyn Court is not part of their assessment for that parcel that wraps around the court. So they, in the future, if they... when they close the road, they will get the value of that property when they reassess it. So right now, there's no value put on that. So if whatever they feel it's worth in the future. So, but they did went, and it's going for second and final reading on the 16th. Yes. And so if the council has asked for this information because they wanted to get it at the next meeting to know how things are assessed, and they're going to review it and have make a decision. But if any of the board feels strongly, they're more than welcome to come and express their opinion. It will be a public hearing, just like you have public hearings. It is a public hearing for the second and final reading in this ordinance.
So there will be a determination of the value, or there?
No, they did not recommend that. They wanted some more information, but they didn't. They can do it at that time. They can amend the ordinance at that point in time.
Let me clarify. The request of the council was to determine whether or not that area, do you know what I'm saying, had been assessed for tax purposes, okay? And so we were directed at either by a city manager when Janice brings back the staff report to
you
answer
mean the
that
road,
question.
Whether they were paying taxes on the road, the paper
yeah.
road,
right.
which,
yes.
which they
right.
were not.
Based on...
So she's been reported right. to by the property appraiser.
But the question from this P&Z board
uh-huh.
was twofold. One, there's certainly a value to that piece of property.
Mm-hmm.
And two, in the vacation of it, what would it do to the taxable base as it existed today? Okay, is it doubling the taxable base? Is it?
Well, certainly, as I understand it, let me ask the tax question first. As I understand it, the current property owners were not paying tax on that portion of the land, the road or whatever.
Yes.
Now, once the road is vacated, that land will go to that property owner, right? I mean,
yes,
it'll become
yes.
part of the parcel, if you will, and it will lose its tax-exempt status, for lack of a better term. So the conceivable thing is there'll be a value added to that, however much land that is, and that will become now taxed for ad valorem tax purposes. Now, I'm not sure if those were all the questions you wanted, but we were asked to answer those questions.
Well, that's fairly obvious, right? I mean, you would expect that.
Uh-huh.
Now, the question remains, as plotted by whether it's the 8 plots that currently exist or the 5 that it's going to, mm-hmm. what is the effect on the taxable base of that action?
Okay. Well, I'm going to take a stab at it, and then Janice and Jim, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Basically, in this particular instance, and I'm not the property appraiser, but I am guessing that probably the reason why they want to ultimately replat is because they want to go to larger lots, right? Isn't that
yes,
right?
And get more river. I think they're in and have a larger riverfront lots.
Conceivably, one would think if you're going from smaller lots to larger lots, do you know what I'm saying, that you're wanting to attract a certain sales or a certain volume or a certain type of homeowner that's looking for larger lots, because the areas immediately around them, if I'm going from just viewing in my mind, those lots are smaller, right, in general terms?
Yes.
Okay.
Not frontage-wise, I know.
Yeah. Frontage-wise, you're
so they're about the same, I think, probably.
Yeah.
Some are bigger.
So anecdotally, we're going
that
from
that was an anecdote on my part.
We're
I
going
mean,
from
I, you know.
More to fewer.
Yes.
And assuming that they're going to be worth more, which is a property appraisers.
Now I can
assessors.
I'll ask that question on Monday.
She can certainly take
yeah.
a look at that and then bring that information forward to the council when she reports that. Is that one of your questions?
My only interest is it's a third of an acre.
Okay.
That we are going to hand to somebody, mm-hmm. and in the interest of the citizens of Green Cove, mm-hmm. not only is it going to allow them to replat, but it's going to bring significant value to those fewer lots.
And usually the property appraisers, the way they probably could do it pretty easily, because they usually do it based on square footage figure. So my gut feeling, I'm not a property appraiser, but when I talk to Mr. Drake on Monday, they're going to probably say, okay, you know, now the tax value when you close that road is X square foot, and you know, kind of they probably come up with a guesstimation, I would hope, but I'm not them, because on how they come up with their price, so they have all these different factors. But we can.
I'm just looking at it from the petitioner's
well,
point of view.
Right. Basically,
you know,
there's no question they are getting property that they will add to the tax rolls. And your concern is they're getting free property and not paying anything back to the city, and that's your question
for the council. Speaking, there's a house to south of this particular piece of property that for sale by owner, number on it's 450. Okay, the house is worth a fraction of that. Granted, the lot's probably worth a fraction of that, but I look at it and go, if you're going to allow for the development of those 3 lots, certainly there's an interest on the property owner's
mm-hmm.
behalf.
I can ask him what the increased value of that parcel would be with once it's closed based on the plat. If he can, I don't know if he will, but I will ask him. He's usually pretty good in giving me information.
The only way you're going to know exact, it's a city council decision.
Not exactly. If you can come and say there's 30% increase in taxable value after this whole thing and the city, you know, donates this, I get it, and
okay.
there's a benefit to the citizens.
What I was going to say was, the way I would do it as an attorney, I would hire an appraiser, and I would have an appraiser before and after, before it's done, taking what is going to be done versus what's there now, and then with the road being closed, and he can give you a value. To me, it would be like if you had a let's say you had a 100 feet on the river, 100 feet on the river, 100 feet on the river, and the lots were 200 feet deep, just as an example. And the back of that 200 feet, there was a paper street, and those property owners said, would you close that? We don't need it. There's another access to our property or whatever. And you added 30 more feet of depth to those lots. An appraiser might say, that's wonderful, and it adds $5,000 a lot or $10,000 a lot or something. But the value, as you know, is the waterfront itself. It, the depth doesn't really play much of a part in it unless it's ridiculously small or something. Whether it's a 200 feet deep or 210 or 220 doesn't compute to a big dollar figure,
sure.
But only an appraiser could tell us that.
I mean, here's what my suggestions are. Janice, maybe talk to Tracy Drake and say, hey, clearly there's
right.
some other examples of this. And I think Jim has a lot of institutional history. I know in the 6 years that I've been here, we had some road vacates with regards to the police stations, and there were a bunch of dialogue on that, so maybe we can go back and take a look at that. Because there were values and numbers discussed, you know, the area I'm speaking of, where the new police station is.
Sometimes through the traditionally in the old, quote, old days, as far back as I go, 40 years, the city never did anything except if everybody wanted a road closed that adjoined it and it didn't landlock anybody, the city closed it as a matter of course. I think the county still does that, but I won't swear to that because I'm not over there all the time. But I know road closures are asked for much more often in the county than obviously they are here. But there has come a time through the years that on occasion the city council has said, well, you know, this is a little different for this one. You know, we'd like to get something in return, and we've bargained for things in return, not only money but utilities and things like just next to my law office, that street right there, for instance. That was redone, and there were more utilities put in the ground and everything, and we made the developer do that because we were giving up an actual street then to, you know, to join some property that they had bought on each side of a street. So, you know, it's looked at on an individual basis, and your city council, including Pample, will look at it, and they'll make a common sense decision about it, and that's what they'll do.
Here's the assumption. It was my first meeting, and I have to make the assumption, and not to disparage anybody, but that information, whether it comes from a private property appraiser or the county land appraiser, is going to be used in that calculation.
Well, I think one thing that we can do is take a look at the utility side and see, I don't know what's in the ground out there, do you know what I'm saying, and see if there can be some dialogue about that in with regards to the street vacation. I mean, I know there was dialogue with the old police station, the site of the new police station, if you will, and there were some street vacations there that were ultimately reversed, and there was some dialogue there, so we can take a look at it. I mean, those are the things that occurred to me.
And in that one, the case, it was to the benefit of the city because we wanted it closed so we got more land for the police building.
And I think I mentioned it, property owner wanted consideration for that.
Right.
But in the interest of the public good and the interest of the citizens of Green Cove, I get that. Right?
Right.
I mean, the city is petitioning for that. Here
well,
we have a private concern that's going to more than benefit.
And I think I mentioned to you at this last planning board, as well as a bunch of the council, there were two instances where the council did close the road, but they got something in return. And that's not, you know, but those are on commercial properties, and there were some utilities I think we need relocated, there's some roads. But that's not to say you can't ask. I mean, it is, you're giving this, right-of-ways are city's ownership of property. So if they're going to give something, you know, it's up to them to see what they want to ask for.
Madam Chairwoman, my choice on that particular day was to vote yes. I had reservations, but it was just three of us. Had I voted no, I'm not sure that would have gone forward or would have gone.
It was still passed. 2-1.
Okay.
Well, and petitions, and I don't know about road closures, but definitely rezonings and land use amendments, even if you deny it, it has to go to council because statute requires you to give, or in case law, one of the two, Jim, correct me if I'm wrong, you have to let a petitioner go through the process,
right,
even if it's denied. You even have to, if the Flume Amendment, you even go to DCA because they can't go to Circuit Court unless they have completed all the process.
All the administrative.
So you have to let them go through it so then they can go through the process. So, all right.
How often is a vacation a vacation?
And I've been working with the city since like 2000. I think we've had, this is the third street that I'm aware of. There are not many.
Every year, more than that.
I've been here 6 years.
Oh, yeah.
So
I mean, it doesn't happen
Walgreens,
too often.
CVS.
The CVS,
Walgreens.
The Walgreens, I mean, the two.
Yeah.
Police. The police station, I forget, that's four. So, yeah. It happens a lot in
they're
like,
all unique,
in, when they're paper are. Streets in the county, there were old subdivisions that don't work, and they replat those. It's all unique. It's all, everyone's different. But they don't happen every day. I mean, if you have them one a year, even a big city, that would probably be a lot. But a lot of times to redevelop a site, you've got to reconfigure it. And the streets become, the streets are,
The city on this street, if I understood the dimensions as they were described to us at the city council meeting, would unlikely do anything with that street. They just wouldn't. It's too small, no cul-de-sac, no turnaround, no anything. The city, I can't imagine anybody, I don't speak for the whole city, but I don't believe anybody would raise their hand and say we'd like for the city to continue to own this and make a street out of it and figure out how you're going to do it and how you're going to get rescue and maintain it.
But I mean, I understand your point there, and I didn't.
Alternatively, the private landowner could contribute land to generate a street that fit and conformed with.
Then he'd give us land back then, of course.
And
he'd have the exact same access that he's looking for now.
Right.
So my
it's the city's property. You negotiated. Usually it happens with redevelopment because the existing street configuration inhibits the best potential of the property, and it just depends how you do. I know there's just Jack's Beach had all these little small subdivisions out there. People want bigger lots, so they reconfigured it all. I mean, that's just it, but they got other streets. So it's really it's the city council owns the property and basically, and they have the way to negotiate it. So
why don't we, when this comes back to the council, some more things and there were additional staff comments. I think, as I understand it, and like I said, in the 6 years I've been here, the example that you're talking about, when it's reversed on the city, I can tell you that the property owner came to me and wanted consideration for it. And that's, in essence, what your question is, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I can tell you when it's the opposite direction, they do ask for consideration. So let's do some more research. Let's find out what's happened historically. You've got two folks that have got a lot of institutional history. And we've been asked to follow up on a few questions, and in fact, we were asked to give responses in the staff report, so we'll do a little bit more. How about that?
Is that good?
Yes,
ma'am. All right. Was there any more staff comments?
No.
I'm just going to add that reason why you're having an audience is at 6:30 tonight we have a community meeting on extending the surtax, the 1 cent surtax. So for those of you that would like to stay, we'd love to have you. This will be on the ballot on August 30th on the referendum. And you'll learn as you follow the budget process. It's about $850,000 a year for the city right now, and it's strictly capital use.
Yes.
Early voting. Studying. Do you know those dates? Early voting.
Is it going on now?
8th of August.
That door needs to be unlocked.
Yeah, isn't it? It looks like it's unlocked.
It should be unlocked.
It's popped out.
There you go.
Anyway. Yep. We'll fix it.
Okay. And then this is a question just what it has to do with voting. For the sheriff's position, we have four candidates. I'm just curious. Is it whoever has the most votes take winner take all, or is it 50 plus one for him to win? County manager, do you know, I mean, for sure, is it 50 plus one, or?
I believe that it is, but.
For constitutional officers? I'm just curious because, yeah, obviously it's coming up and.
Sure. Well, and you've got two parties now. You've got a Republican that's got to win on the Republican side, right? And then go to the general election where you can have a Republican and a Democrat, right?
Well, aren't all candidates Republican? I'm for sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So is it 50 plus one or is it
winner
take all?
I live in Jacksonville.
I thought there was a Democrat, but if there's only
there's
Republicans, then
there's no
Republicans.
Then it's then you'll have to see what happens in the primary on the 30th, and you have at least four or five.
Winner takes all, or you have to pick one, or the other.
No, I don't think you can win it on 20%.
Yeah.
You've got so many people in the election. You may have a runoff, but don't quote me on that.
Don't I don't know. What? Yeah.
I'm not the supervisor election, so.
Anyway.
Okay, so our county manager, she's going to make an inquiry for us, because I was just, like I said, it's an important position, and it just came up. I was curious about it, and
I'm sure if you go,
some of you fine folks might know that came in.
You could probably supervisor of elections office. I'm sure they know the answer to that.
I'm sure they do. Right? Well, we have all these fine folks in the audience that anyone would know. Okay, so is there anything else for staff comments?
That's it.
No. Okay, in that case, then the planning and zoning for July 28, 2016 adjourns at
6:10
p.m. Thank you.
Oh, I didn't know what you gave it to me.